Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we welcome a brand new guest, Jamie Harrison, new DNC chairman. Chairman Harrison, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, thank you, sir. We knew your predecessor, but Joe Biden picked you, air quotes, picked you, sir. What was your relationship with President Biden?
Well, you know, I've got an opportunity to get to know the president over the years when he was vice president, and he spent a lot of time here in South Carolina. I was the South Carolina Democratic Party chair for 4 years, and during my tenure, Vice President Biden visited almost, you know, multiple times a year sometimes to help our party out, to help our candidates out, to just vacation in South Carolina. And so we developed a relationship. And then he was also very close with my former boss, who still is my considered as my boss, even though he doesn't pay me anymore. And that's Congressman Jim Clyburn. And you know, Congressman Clyburn put in a good word with the president on my behalf. And we worked through the process. And now I'm the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
And in no small part, South Carolina delivered at least the Democratic nomination, turned the tide towards Joe Biden. Do you take some credit as a South Carolina guy, Jamie, for the presidency or at least the nomination of Joe Biden?
Well, I take credit for South Carolina. I can't take any credit for the vice president winning and now the president winning the South Carolina primary. I think Jim Clyburn was very helpful in that, however, and you know, South Carolina loves Joe Biden, and it's because he's loved South Carolina for so long. Yeah, I remember when we had a disaster at Mother Emanuel, and when those 9 beautiful lives were lost, and many of us remember when President Obama flew down here and sang "Amazing Grace," and that was such a touching moment. But even before that, then Vice President Biden and Dr. Biden came to worship with the parishioners at Mother Emanuel after that disaster. And they did it without any fanfare and without any TV cameras, but he did it because he knows what tragedy is like. And he has a heart that is full of empathy. And so that's why, you know, I often say that sometimes there's certain times for us, certain seasons for us, and I believe that this was the time and season for Joe Biden to be the president at this point in time.
Chairman Harrison, you were a prodigious fundraiser in your own regard as a candidate in South Carolina. How much of that translates? Was that part of your resume? Is that in some small part why you've become the DNC chairman?
Well, I mean, part of the job of DNC chair is raising money and to do so. And you know, I'm happy to say that we raise money not because we got a ton of money from big PACs and corporations. It's for small dollar contributions. You know, we ended up raising $130-some million, and the average contribution we got was about $28 a person. Wow. Or a contribution. And so it was a lot of mom, pops, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, and uncles who gave us money because they liked me and they wanted to see Lindsey Graham gone. And I'm appreciative of that. And so that's a part of the job. But also part of the job is understanding our state parties. You know, I've been the state party chair in a red state. I've put on a presidential primary. And so I have the experience, and I've worked on Capitol Hill. So I have the experience as a candidate, as a state party chair, but also as somebody who's been involved in politics now for 20 some odd years to know where we need to go as a party. And I think the president saw that.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. New DNC Chair Jamie Harrison joining us on the phone. Jamie, I understand it was your birthday last week. Happy birthday, sir. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You mentioned the state party, and I've seen some reporting that you have the philosophy you want to invest. You want to use the resources of the DNC to invest more in the state parties. What do you mean specifically by that, and what does that look like, Jamie?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that many of us have heard, you know, back in the day before President Obama was elected was Howard Dean was the chair of the DNC at that point in 2006, and he enacted what was called the 50-state strategy. Well, we're going to dust that off, bring it back, and revamp it for 2021 and beyond. We are going to work to enhance our state parties in every state in the country, partly because I don't want to cede any territory to Republicans. I know there are a lot of folks saying, well, why are we competing in Mississippi, or why are we putting money in these states? It's because they're Democrats in those states. And we're not going to leave anybody behind. We're going to also fight for every opportunity that we can, because folks need good leadership. They need leadership that sees them, that hears them, that values them. And you got to be able to do that in every state in this nation, and that's what's important. So we will be sending funds to our state parties. We will be working on organizing on the ground, and not just doing it, you know, a few months before the election, but starting it now. We'll be working with them to make sure they have a capacity in terms of protecting the voters once they mobilize them and educate them on voting and get them registered. Voter protection is really crucial. And we will also be setting up a technology where they can share data and utilize data to better connect with the voters on the ground. And so I'm very excited about the opportunities of transforming the Democratic Party. And the way that we do that is to make sure that we have strong state parties.
Well, we look forward to that effort, Jamie. We have Senator Ron Johnson, and we'd really like to see some of those resources come here, sir.
Yeah.
Legislatively speaking right now, with the priorities, obviously the COVID relief bill, very important. Jamie, what do you see coming up next? You talk about getting people to register, engaging in self-governance. What do you like to see next? The John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act? Are there other priorities you think that this administration should take to ensure people's right to vote?
Well, H.R. 1 and the Senate Resolution 1 are crucial in terms of opening up voting in this country, making sure that we are leaning forward in terms of voter registration, having automatic voter registration, same-day registration, making sure that there are provisions so that when people serve their time, they can get their rights back. And making sure that we push back against these efforts to suppress voters, to purge them from voter rolls because you forgot to send in a postcard from your election commission. I mean, that is no reason, or no excuse, not a valid one at that, to purge somebody, to take away their most cherished right as Americans because they didn't turn in a card to the election commission on time. But, you know, these Republicans are finding all of these reasons to keep people away from the polls. And I think that's fundamentally wrong, particularly when we send our sons and daughters, and they are always for it, overseas to fight for the right to vote in other nations. But we try to find every way that we can to suppress the vote here in America. That hypocrisy has to end. And I think if we pass that legislation, H.R. 1 and the Senate Resolution 1, along with the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, I think we will take tremendous steps forward in terms of ensuring the right to vote for every eligible American.
DNC Chairman Jamie Harrison with the Devil's Advocates for a few more minutes. Chairman Harrison, got to ask you, white working class voters, we are here in the upper Midwest. We broadcast regionally here, sir, and we've got a lot of white middle class sort of voters, working class voters, blue collar voters that have sort of become Trump Republicans. And it's very disappointing. And the fact that my state has become a coin flip, and this time it's blue, but the last time it was red, sir. How do we message as a party? How do the Democrats reach out and find common ground with the working class?
Well, I think what's important is that, and we haven't done a good job of this. I often tell folks that, you know, Democrats love to tell folks what our values are, but we don't actually show them what our values are. So we got to show and not tell. And that is, and we have to make sure that once we show it, that we message to folks to say, have you seen it? that these are the things that we are working on your behalf, because we want to make sure that the American dream is available to everyone, and that this party is fighting for you, your families, and your communities, and making them a better places, safer places, making sure that you have the income to do the things to take care of your family. But, you know, you take, for instance, the new provision that, the House Democrats have just rolled out about increasing the child tax credit this year, taking it from $2,000 to almost up to $3,600 per kid for this particular tax year, because we know that working class people are struggling right now. You know, my wife and I both work, and we have no child care at the moment. We have a six-year-old and a 20-month-old, both boys. And so we're still working because we have to. But we also don't have the child care that, to allow us to work. And so, therefore, you know, my wife works in the morning, and I take care of the little one, and then I work in the afternoons, and she takes care of them. But that's what American people all across this country are going through. And some are forced because they have lost their jobs because of the coronavirus. We as a nation have an obligation to make sure that we take care of our folks in the times of their greatest need. That's what the Democratic Party is all about. But we need to make sure that we get these things done, enacted, and then we got to tell folks that we actually did it. And I hope that we see with an increase in the minimum wage, an increase in these credits that are really targeted towards working people, folks will see that it's the Democratic Party that's working to improve their lives and the lives of their families.
Chairman Harrison, I've got one last question for you. The urgency of the times are going to give you and President Joe Biden a short honeymoon, one for you and one for the president. Sir, what is the must get done on behalf of the Democratic Party by you, sir? And what do you think Joe Biden's number one achievement must be to advance the Democratic cause?
I think for all of us is the promises that Joe Biden made on the campaign trail are promises that we have to work extremely hard to keep. And I think that is for the success of all of us who are running as Democrats and for the party going into the 2022 race. It is important that we keep the promises and work our hearts out on behalf of the American people who are suffering through four big things right now. From the coronavirus, and we're still struggling, and how we deal with that, to the economy that is shuttered in some places, dealing with the issue of climate change. And then we have the problems of racial injustice and inequalities that folks are dealing with as well. We need to work. We have to walk and chew gum at the same time and address all of those issues. And if we can do that, then I think the Democratic Party will do well, and Joe Biden will be extremely successful and popular with the American people. And so that's my focus, is making sure that I do everything that I can to make sure that the president can keep his promises to the American people.
Well, Chairman Harrison, Joe Biden's coming to the great state of Wisconsin next week. I'd recommend you wait until it warms up a bit, sir. Chairman Harrison,
I think so.
Very nice to have met you, sir. We look forward to meeting you in person, but thank you so much for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show today.
Thank you both. Nice meeting you as well.
Thank you, sir.